Well, one of the questions I think we're asking in this season is how much longer? How much longer is this going to be? How much longer before normalcy returns? And like you, I've listened to a lot of different expert opinions. I've read a lot. And I think I've come up with the answer based on all that I've heard. And I think the answer is nobody really knows, right? And obviously there's a lot of different factors at play. But the reality for you and me is to live in that uncertainty and not know how much longer is this going to be, that's a wave that hits our lives. In fact, last week we gave you this word picture, going back a few years to do so, by pointing you to a movie poster from the movie The Perfect Storm with Captain George Clooney. Remember this movie? And the movie poster had this really small boat going up against this massive storm. And I don't know about you, but I feel that way in many, many respects. Like, I've got the little boat of my life, and here's this massive storm that's kind of come out of nowhere, and it's hitting, and the uncertainties are hitting my life and yours. And so we bump up against this question, how much longer is this going to be? And so in the middle of all that, what we've been saying in this series is that while uncertainty can hit and economic uncertainty can hit and how's all this going to play out, as we get tossed back and forth, it's true that the waves have come crashing into our lives, but there's a hope for us. There's a certainty for us that, yeah, we can get knocked down, but we have the potential to get back up because we are anchored in the storm. And we introduced six verses to you last week that has been an anchor for people for centuries now who faced all sorts of different challenges in their lives. And yet these six verses, in many respects, no matter what they may be facing and have faced in the past, these verses have been an anchor to remind them and now to remind you and me that no matter how big the storm is, nothing is too big for God. And God is writing a story, not to diminish the challenges, not to diminish the loss and the heartache, but in the middle of all that, God does what God does, and that is bring beauty out of ashes. And so these verses come from the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, written by King David. And King David was this remarkable man. He's one of those people that you just kind of envy, honestly, because it looks like he can do everything from being a songwriter, musician, warrior, king, leader. He was everything. And in his life, he wrote down six verses that I think were inspired by God through him to now you and me. And as we find ourselves in this perfect storm, these verses point us to a truth that we can be anchored in this storm. And the reality for you and me, as we deal with a really good question today, how much longer is this going to be? Even though we don't have certainty to that question, we do have an anchor that allows us day in and day out to move forward. And I don't want to talk about that today. But I think it's helpful to give Psalm 23 some context. And as I mentioned, King David was a songwriter. And Psalm 23 is a worship song, right? It's a worship song. And so I'm fascinated by the creative process, whether it's a songwriter or a movie writer or somebody that comes up with a business. I love the creative process that people go through to come up with these great ideas. And King David was the same thing. I mean, in the same way, right? I mean, he's writing this song and he's in the creative process and he's trying to tell you and me what the Lord is like. And little did he know that centuries later, here you and I would be leaning into the truth of this song that he wrote. But I wish for a moment I could erase your memory banks because so many of you know Psalm 23. You've lived most of your life knowing this passage. And so we know that David begins describing the Lord as my shepherd. But if I could, I would love to erase your memory banks just for a moment and let you understand the context of which David is writing this. And when we begin to understand this, we begin to understand, I think, maybe in a fresh way, how powerful and how relevant these verses are for you and for me. So when we hear the Lord is my shepherd, that's the first few words to begin Psalm 23, we think, oh, that's nice, and that's appropriate, right? Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. We talked about that last week. But I think it's helpful to understand that in this day and time that David was writing this, being a shepherd was not an enviable position. In fact, it was a detestable position. In preparation for our time, I did some research and I read something that a rabbi wrote that said shepherding was so detestable that it was often relegated to the youngest member of the family because no one else in the family wanted to do this. In fact, we're introduced to David, and that truth that that rabbi shared, that truth actually plays out the very first time we meet David in the Bible. You maybe know the story that there's a prophet named Samuel, and he's been instructed by God to go to the house of a man named Jesse, and he is to anoint the future king of Israel, one of Jesse's sons. So he goes and meets Jesse, and he says, can you bring your sons out to me? He has seven sons, and each one, the prophet Samuel, in essence, says, Lord, is this the future king of Israel? And the Lord says, no, all seven. Which is kind of puzzling because Samuel's just obeying what God told him to do. So he goes through these sons and none of them are the future king of Israel. And he points to Jesse asks Jesse, do you have another son? And I would imagine all the brothers kind of snickered. There was one other son. He was the youngest. And guess where the youngest son was? He was out taking care of the sheep. Because he was the youngest person in the family and no one wanted to be a shepherd. So they go get David, they bring him in, and the rest is history. Now, the reason I tell you that story is while maybe most of the world detested the role of shepherd, I think there was something in David that really enjoyed it, that he grew up in it. And not only did he grow up in it, so often as he was probably by himself, just the sheep, David and God, in those moments, I believe God began to grow his faith. In those moments, I think David began to grow into how he's ultimately described as a man after God's own heart. And as he grew in his relationship with God, and as God cared for him and loved him, and he grew in that relationship with God, he began to see a parallel between his relationship with God and his relationship with the sheep. And he would begin to go, you know what? The same way that God protects me is very similar to how I protect the sheep. If there's a wolf that's coming after one of my sheep, I'll take a rod and I'll throw that rod with uncanny accuracy to hit the wolf and drive him away. Or if I have an unruly or disobedient sheep, I'll take my staff and put it around the neck of the sheep and to guide the sheep back into the fold. But there weren't just predators outside, there were pests inside. And so pests or insects would often bore themselves into the face of the sheep. So David would take oil and pour it over the head of the sheep, and the oil would run over and flow out the pest in the face of the sheep. And David would think, you know, the same way that I care for these sheep, I've experienced the love and the grace and the strength of God. And we see this experience play out when David burst onto the world stage. He walks up one day and he notices that there's this giant named Goliath that is mocking God and mocking the people of God. And David has this righteous indignation to say, is anyone going to do something? I mean, this guy's talking some trash and talking some smack against God and the armies of God. Is no one going to do anything? And everyone's cowering in fear. And David says, I'll go do something. And they try to put on King Saul's armor, and David says, I don't need that. And he leans in on his experience as a shepherd. Here's what he says. He said, look, in protection of sheep, I have killed bears and lions with my bare hands. If I can kill bears and lions with my own hands and with God's help, I can certainly deal with this man. And everybody says, David, David, Goliath is too big to hit. And David says, no, Goliath is too big to miss. And he walks out with a slingshot and a few stones, and the rest is history. Now, the reason that I tell you all of that is, I think, a backdrop toward this worship song that has stood the test of time and finds its way to you today, and you can anchor on not just to these words, but to who the words point to and what these words say about what the shepherd does for you. If you were with us last week, maybe you'll recall that I said, here's what we're going to do in this two-part series. First, we're going to talk about who the shepherd is in Psalm 23. We talked about that last week, connecting it to John chapter 10, that in essence to say Jesus is our shepherd. I lack nothing. This week, I told you that we want to shift and talk about what the shepherd does. And so I want to read this whole passage to you real quick. But we're going to look at just one application from one of the verses. We're not going to look at all of them. I'm going to read all of them. But we're not going to look at all of them. We're going to look at one application to Psalm 23 that, hang with me, in essence, I think helps us with the uncertainty of the question, how much longer will this be? So first, let me just read Psalm 23 to you. And maybe that's why you're here today. Maybe you don't need to hear anything else about what I have to say. Maybe you just need to hear what the Lord inspired David to write about his relationship, God's relationship with you and with me. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. We talked about that last week. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. Now, last week, we spent most of our time together on Psalm 23, verse 1. Today, Psalm 23, verses 2 through 6, it's in essence what the shepherd does for you and me. But specifically today, I want to look at Psalm 23, verse 2, and actually just half of the verse. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, when I say the phrase green pastures, what comes to mind? What comes to mind when you hear me say green pastures? Well, for me, I would say it's kind of like rolling hills of green grass that you can see forever, right? Or maybe, let me pick on another, not pick, but go back to another movie from several years ago. Remember Gladiator, the opening scene when Maximus has his hand on this endless wave of grain? It's kind of like that, right? Green pastures just go on and on forever. But I remember hearing a rabbi talk about the context of what David was talking about. And it was not an endless sea of green grass. He said this is how it would actually look, particularly, or quite possibly, in David's day. That as a shepherd, he was often shepherding over rocky terrain. And what would happen is, at night in the Mediterranean, moisture or rain would come over from the Mediterranean and land in on rocks. And as it would land in on rocks, here's what would happen. Got a little prop for us today. As this moisture would come and settle in on the rocks, a little tuft of grass would appear. And a shepherd would lead their sheep to a tuft of grass here. And then after eating this, the sheep would look at the shepherd and the shepherd would go to the next piece of grass and the sheep would follow him there. And then he would do it again and again. So when we have this mental image of green pastures, it's not a rolling endless sea of pasture. It's a tuft of grass. And the reason this is so important is that the sheep would keep their eye on the shepherd, not the pasture. Let me say that again. To do this and to understand what to be led to their provision, the sheep would keep their eye on the provider, not the provision. This is a really important point. And here's the danger in abundance. I'm all for abundance. It's great. In fact, we formerly were in a season of abundance, right? I mean, unemployment was so incredibly low. The stock market was, you know, on a roll, and then suddenly it's like whiplash. All of that has changed, right? But to go back into the season of abundance, there's a temptation in the season of abundance. And the temptation in a season of abundance is to trust in the pasture and not the provider. And the season that we're in, one of the things that this season makes possible is for us to make sure that our trust is in the provider, not the provision. So sheep in King David's day would stay close to the shepherd and keep their eye on the shepherd because their trust was in the provider, not the provision. Let me say that again. Their trust was in the provider, not the provision. Gwinnett Church, how much longer is this season going to be with COVID-19? I'm not smart enough to figure that out. I'm not smart enough to know that. But do you know what I do know? That Jesus has an answer to this question of how much longer will this be? Here's his answer, I believe, to this question. Obviously, I believe Jesus knows the answer to the question, but the invitation to you and me is this. How much longer will this me be? I think Jesus is saying, just follow me. How much longer will this be? Just follow me. Day in and day out, one step at a time. Our trust in this season, if we want to be anchored in, our trust must be in the provider, not the provision. Now, Jesus taught us this, didn't he? Remember when Jesus taught us to pray? He said, give us this day our daily bread. So practically speaking, how does that play out? Let me give you a couple of examples that I think this week you can take a daily following to Jesus and not allow the uncertainty to crash in and get us all up in arms, totally understand all of that, but can we anchor in and go, you know what, here's what I do know. I don't know what 8, 10, 12 months from now is going to look like, but I know that I can anchor in and follow Jesus today. So let me give you a few examples. First, I would encourage you this week to get up and read Psalm 23. That's the first thing you do. If you want to get coffee first, that's okay. But read Psalm 23 and say, Lord, will you speak to me today? Which one of these six verses do you want me to lean into today? Secondly, if you're watching this on Sunday, not sure when you're going to watch this, but this coming Tuesday night, we're going to have a night of worship and prayer online. But it's going to be an opportunity for our community to gather around. And if you have a prayer request, you can just type that in and our community will jump in and begin to pray for you. So every day, read Psalm 23. Tuesday night, join us for a night of worship and prayer. Then with your small group, the other night, I drove by Gwinnett Church in the parking lot. I saw a couple of small groups and you were practicing social distancing. You were out in the parking lot and you had a circle in your lawn chairs and you were meeting together. And whatever, you know, and I'm so impressed with how so many of our small groups continue to meet virtually. That's awesome. But it's not just that night that you meet. It's texting one another throughout the week. And I want to encourage you, for those of you that aren't in a group, we've got a variety of different ways to get into groups. But if you'll go to gwinnettchurch.org/groups, it's a step for you to get into a group. But those are just a handful of ways for you this week to keep your eye on the provider, not the provision. Will the Lord provide for you? According to King David, that's what Psalm 23 is all about. It's not negating the provision, but it's making sure that we're not putting our trust in the provision, but our trust is in the provider. In fact, another way to say it is this. And maybe you feel this way. Maybe you would say, and trust me, I feel this way as well. Jeff, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about my job situation. I don't know what to do about this situation. I don't know what to do about my family situation. I totally understand that. And again, maybe you've heard me say this, we need to give ourselves grace in this moment. None of us have been through a global pandemic before. But when you don't know what to do, your hope is not in what or when, but who. When we don't know what to do, and we don't know the answer to the question of how much longer is this going to be, when we don't know what to do, our hope is not in what or when, but who. And that's not negating what we need to do. It's not negating that we need to practice social distancing and all the guidelines. It's not negating that we need to continue to get up and move forward and do the things that we're called to do as well as we possibly can. But at the end of the day, we can't be overwhelmed with the uncertainty, not knowing how the future is ultimately going to play out. How much longer is this going to be? I don't think anyone knows that exactly. But we don't have to be overcome by the wave of uncertainty because there's an anchor. His name is Jesus. And if we will put our trust in the provider, he will lead us to the provision. And do you want to know why? Because he's a good shepherd. He loves you. He laid down his life for you, as we talked about last week, and he picked it back up. And you are secure in him. So Gwinnett Church, in the face of so much uncertainty, let's get anchored in. Let's keep our eye on the provider who will lead us to the provision and is ultimately writing a beautiful, amazing story for your good and his glory. And knowing that today is why we want to sing this song that talks about that you can anchor in to Jesus, your good shepherd, the Prince of Peace, the Rock, the Savior. Because in the face of a perfect storm, the waves will crash, but we can get back up and keep our eye on the shepherd because we are anchored in to him.